Okay, welcome to the audio edition of today's podcast, and I want to apologize for our website not working most of the day yesterday. We were, I think, under some sort of denial of service attack. My devs are still looking into it, but through whatever mechanisms, we got some things resolved, and the website appears to be working normally now, but it was not responding, at least not in a timely manner, most of the day yesterday, so I apologize for that. This is what happens when you publish the truth, right? You get targeted in every way possible. And by the way, today's podcast here is not going to win us any friends in the deep state either, because, of course, we're telling the truth about this fascist regime now going after Trump advisors. It's insane what's going on. They've been confiscating phones from Trump advisors, and now Trump is facing more criminal charges. And Michigan is issuing felony criminal charges against the people there, the lawmakers there who offered the alternate electors in the 2020 election because, of course, Trump won. Trump won in Michigan. Trump won in Arizona. Trump won in Nevada. Trump won in Georgia. I mean, the theft of the election was treason. It was a crime against America. And now the regime that stole the White House and stole that power is abusing its power in order to lock up all of its political enemies, which includes Trump, Trump advisors, Trump supporters in state legislatures, you know, pro-Trump people everywhere, including Steve Bannon, for example. So this is exactly what's going on. This is straight up fascism. This is a banana republic at this point. The rule of law is gone. Of course, you already know that, so I'm not telling you anything new, and I might get to some of those stories later, but that's not even the focus of today's podcast. Not the focus at all. We've got other stories that are, in their own way, extremely important as well. I just thought I would mention all of that stuff, because, you know, you're living in a fascist regime if you're living in America right now. Now, let's talk about financial news quickly here. Oh, let me mention, we've got, of course, Dave Hodges, that interview coming up, so don't miss that. I'll try to keep this short so we can get to the Dave Hodges interview. But there was, well, remember how I talked about commercial real estate was about to implode? We are going to see massive bankruptcies of commercial real estate companies and investment companies and also banks that made loans to these real estate companies, especially commercial real estate. This is going to take time to wind its way through the system. So it's not all going to happen tomorrow. But Zero Hedge reported that a Baltimore office tower, and this is according to the Baltimore Sun, this is a 30-story building, which was purchased in 2015 for $66 million. It was just sold last month for $24 million. That's over a 63% collapse in the price of the building. This is 479,000 square feet. And it opened in 1992. So this is a pretty big building. It's called One South Street. And it's just plunged almost two-thirds in value. So what do you think is going to happen to other commercial real estate properties? This is just a sign of things to come. Because, of course, well, I mean, who wants to work in an office anymore after COVID? Everybody just wants to work from home or just not work at all and collect stimulus money. So corporate office space is done, by the way. It's like, who needs it? Also, another thing that's happening, kind of related to all this, is that electric vehicles are not as popular, not in as high demand as, of course, the globalists want them to be. So from the Wall Street Journal, Ford cuts the price of its F-150 Lightning electric truck by up to $10,000. And the subhead is that move comes after rival Tesla begins production of Cybertruck. So I find this really interesting for lots of reasons. Number one, remember the Ford F-150? I did the little song about that. I forgot how it goes. It's like, I got my Ford EV truck, and it doesn't have a clutch. It don't tow much. I think I'm out of luck with my Ford EV truck. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Like, I did that little ditty, and people were amazed that I could do that without using the four-letter word that begins with F, because that's the easiest thing to rhyme with truck. But nevertheless, the F-150 truck is it's useless as a truck. It's useless. I mean, I have a truck. It's diesel. It gets things done. You know, you can tow with it. You can haul with it. You can all kinds of things. You can pull other vehicles out of the mud. But with this F-150, it doesn't do anything. So the fact that they're offering a $10,000 discount on a very expensive paperweight with wheels, I don't think this is going to matter. I mean, people who buy the F-150 truck, electric truck, they're not going to buy another one. Not after going through this, get stuck on the road with the battery at 0%. It's a nightmare. So anyway, Tesla comes out with its Cybertruck, which looks insane. I mean, frankly, it looks like origami. It's like someone took a piece of cardboard and folded it three times, and it's a truck, and they put wheels on it. I don't know what to make of this Cybertruck, but I do know this. Now, Elon Musk, obviously a very controversial figure in many ways. I do have to give him credit. He did restore my account on Twitter, or at least under his ownership, my account was restored. I assume he had something to do with it. So I do owe him thanks for that. I owe you thanks for demanding it. It took us 6 months of pounding Elon to get my account turned back on, which is, by the way, at HealthRanger, if you want to follow me on Twitter. Although, who knows when it's going to get turned off again. But my point is, Elon at least did that, so I got to give him credit. But if whether it's Elon or anybody else, do you want the first new vehicle rolling off the assembly line of a new model, a new design, a new factory? Do you want the Cybertruck? Because the Cybertruck, I mean, it's going to be plagued with problems just by definition. I'm not saying that it's not designed in a way that, you know, tries to get it all right. I'm just saying that building cars is complicated. It is extremely complicated. I mean, Toyota had to reinvent the whole manufacturing philosophy and supply chain and all of this to do what they do, and it took Toyota decades to get it right. And Ford, at least, has experience, you know, obviously over 100 years of experience or so, whatever it is. Sadly, they've gone totally woke and stupid with the EV Lightning, but at least they have experience in building vehicles. Too bad they're not really using it to build vehicles that work, but whatever. My point is that Tesla, they just need more experience. I don't want the first anything coming off the Tesla assembly line. I don't want the first truck. I don't want the first car. I don't want the first new model. I don't want anything that's first. Let other suckers buy that thing and let them work out the bugs for about 3 to 4 years, you know? I want the Cybertruck in 2028 or something. Not that I really want one, but I'm just saying, not now, not today, forget it. I mean, Toyota has a lot more experience in this realm, and Toyota's got these, you know, hybrid drivetrain vehicles that have a battery pack and a combustion engine combined. And they've been doing that for a number of years since the first Prius, right? So Toyota has a lot of experience in drivetrains, you know, hybrid drivetrains. And finally, Toyota has announced they're going to have electric vehicles a few years down the road, but Toyota didn't rush it. You know why Toyota didn't rush it? Because they're not crazy. They're not stupid. They're not reckless. I mean, you pack 2,000 pounds of lithium-ion batteries inside a vehicle. Something goes wrong. That thing burns at crazy hot, like, surface of the sun temperatures, and you can't even put it out with a fire hose. It's not a good thing. That's why so many Teslas have burned up. You know, crazy, insane fires. Those of you who are firefighters, you know what I'm talking about. You can't put those fires out with regular just water. Lithium ion burns in a whole new way. It's not like putting out cardboard fires, you know? So Toyota spent extra years to figure out how to make this thing work. And Toyota's EVs won't even be around for a few more years yet to come. But you can bet that when Toyota releases its EV whatever, you know, the whole line of EVs, you can bet it's probably going to be the highest quality EV line in existence, because Toyota is quality, quality, quality all the way through. And no, they didn't pay me to say that. I don't even drive a Toyota. But I have in the past, and they've been outstanding vehicles, just top of the line. I would not hesitate to have a Toyota, but I don't want an EV. What I want is a Toyota diesel truck, which they don't make. So that's why I don't have one. If only they made it, I would drive it. All right, now let's shift gears to some financial news. Now, this comes out of the National Pulse. Says that Nigel Farage was debanked for friendship with Trump. So this story's been developing for a little while, but Nigel Farage, who of course is a pro-liberty, he was the pro-Brexit candidate. I like Farage. He's a pretty awesome guy. He's uncensored. You know, he tells the truth. Farage is he's a hero of Europe, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, his personal bank account was closed by this bank. Laugh at me. I don't know how to pronounce this. C-O-U-T-T-S. Coutts? Couts? What? I don't know. I'm not a Brit. I don't know how to say this. Coutts? Due to his friendship with former President Donald J. Trump. The bank's Reputation Risk Committee kept a, quote, Stasi-style surveillance report on Nigel Farage, which also bemoans his position on Brexit and LGBT issues. Oh, so in other words, Farage hasn't bowed down to the trans cult. And Farage doesn't want to be a slave to the EU tyrants and bureaucrats. So they had to shut down his bank account. So Farage obtained access, the story says, to a 40-page document which cites the company's ESG policies, which is equality, social, and governance policies. And this report dedicated 9 pages that alleged that Nigel Farage had links to Russia before finally concluding that Nigel Farage has no direct links to Russia. So they like to say things like Russia adjacent, like he kind of talks about some issues that Russia talks about, but he's not really working for Russia. But they just want to make you guilty for saying things that maybe somebody in Russia has said. So it also mentions that he appeared on Alex Jones and InfoWars, and that he had comments that were critical of Black Lives Matter, which has been exposed as a money laundering operation, by the way. And then Farage's support for Donald Trump also got him labeled and of course, debanked in this. And Farage then wrote the following. He said, "This story is not just about me. You could be next." Refinitiv, which is a company that monitors credit worthiness, can examine social media posts made by any of us on Facebook. If this situation is left unchecked, we will sleepwalk towards a China-style social credit system in which only those with the correct views are allowed to fully participate in society. Yes, he is exactly right. He nails it. So what's the upshot of this? What can we take from this? Well, as I've been learning from this and sharing with you, we have to exit the traditional finance banking system. Because anytime that you want to use your own money in those banks, you have to get permission from them. Like, "Oh, please, sir, will you allow me to use my own money? You know, please allow me to take out some cash and send a wire." You know, it's like you're in there begging, "Oh, please, like bowing like Janet Yellen in front of the Chinese. Please." You know, that's like, "Oh, gosh, Janet, for God's sake, man, put your clothes back on." If you have crypto, you don't need anybody's permission. You don't need anybody's permission. It's a permissionless system. You can open up your crypto wallet. You can send crypto. You can receive crypto. You can spend it. You can save it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can even delete it if you want. You don't need anybody's permission, and no one can stop you. That's what's really critical to understand here. So before you get debanked for being a person that the regime is going to consider an extremist because you don't bow down to the trans cult and the climate cult and the big government cult and all these cults, before you get your money all frozen and confiscated, get it out of there. Get it into things that you control. This is why I've been talking about self-custody and assets like gold and silver and crypto. I mean, think about what assets can you have where you have self-custody, where you are in control and you don't need anybody's freaking permission to use it. Well, let's see. Pension funds, yeah, you need their permission. And they can cut you off at any time. And let's see, bank accounts. Yeah, you need the permission. Stocks and bonds. You need permission from the brokerage. Let's see, what else? Even real estate, you need permission from the county. Because if you stop paying property tax, guess what? They come take it from you. So what are the assets where you don't need permission from anybody? It's not a very long list. It's gold and silver and crypto, like I said, and maybe some other things that I don't like, stamp collections and firearm collections and art collections, but they're not that liquid, you know? Kind of hard to turn those into cash, whereas crypto can be turned into cash or it can be spent on goods and services directly. And crypto is, you know, very liquid, and it can be spent or sent anywhere in the world at any time. So Nigel Farage, if he just had Monero or Bitcoin or something, you know, he couldn't be debanked. You can't be debanked from Bitcoin or privacy crypto, which is my favorite kind of crypto, of course, privacy coins. And we've got interviews coming up with some pretty amazing projects and leaders of various projects, including, by the way, Firo and Beam and others. And I think another interview with Monero coming up later on. So you got to watch this at decentralize.tv. And those episodes will also be posted on my channel on brightown.com, the HR report channel. But if you want to have control over your assets from here forward, as we move into the central bank digital currency era, and knowing what they did to Nigel Farage, and knowing what they did to General Flynn, by the way, at Chase Bank, and what they've done to me and others, we all have to master digital private money, which is in the crypto space, by the way. I didn't plan on doing this 5 years ago, but it is now an absolutely necessary skill. And note, by the way, that if you have your assets in Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is a very public blockchain that, of course, the government can immediately see your wallet balance and they can see all your Bitcoin transactions. So if you've been using Bitcoin and you perhaps mistakenly thought it was private, it isn't. And everything you've ever done with Bitcoin is permanently etched into the Bitcoin blockchain and can be retroactively retrieved by governments and tax agencies and so on. And it will be, by the way. So don't use Bitcoin to buy things unless you want everybody in the world knowing what you've bought. Don't use Bitcoin for, you know, selling things either. I mean, Bitcoin has a role. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-Bitcoin, just to be clear. But Bitcoin isn't private, so there are far better solutions for privacy. And that's what the focus is of my new show with my co-host, Todd Pittner. And that show, again, is called Decentralize TV. And you can find the website at decentralize.tv. So I hope Nigel Farage listens to the show. You're going to learn about some amazing, innovative tech and some improvements coming to projects like Monero and Bitcoin and others, major improvements that are being built right now that will be released in the next 6 to 24 months that are going to revolutionize this whole area. And I'm talking to the people. I'm interviewing the people who are responsible for many of these projects. And what I know now, it's like what I know right now that's coming is mind-blowing. It's game-changing. It's such a pivotal turning point in the history of money and privacy and finance. And this is why I'm moving everything out of traditional finance and into gold and silver and crypto, because I've come to realize that we're all going to be Nigel Farage here at some point. We're all going to have all of our money like frozen or canceled or confiscated if we don't bow down to the trans cult, which I will not do. I am not going to go in and endorse the mutilation of children. And I'm not going to endorse the climate cult. All those lunatics either. And they're all the same people, by the way. You notice that the people claiming they're trying to save the planet are trying to chop off the genitalia of children, too. It's like, oh, we got to save the planet, but let's sacrifice these kids. You know, it's insane. Hey, by the way, before we get into the Dave Hodges interview, we have a rare discount happening today and tomorrow only at the Health Ranger store. Well, today it's at brightionstore.com. $20 off of Ranger Buckets. And tomorrow, it's $20 off Ranger Buckets at healthrangerstore.com. That's Thursday. But today, Wednesday, is $20 off Ranger Buckets at brightonstore.com. So you can wait till tomorrow if you just prefer to shop at healthrangerstore.com. But it's pretty much the same store. Anyway, this is a rare discount that we're offering because we're altering the lineup slightly. Some of the ingredients that go into it, we're having to make some changes because of supply chain problems. And so we've just placed a massive order of new raw materials, and we're printing the labels for those. And in order to stop confusion in our order fulfillment center, we want to move out all the current buckets that we have, which is pallets upon pallets of these buckets we have produced in anticipation of global food shortages. So we want to move these out and replace them with the new ingredient list of these new orders coming in. So my team said, yep, let's offer a discount. I'm mentioning it here. It's probably the only discount you're ever going to see on our Ranger Buckets forever. It's kind of a unique situation where my team is like, we want to move these pallets out of here and get only the new SKU in place so there's never any confusion and nobody gets the wrong bucket, you know? So that's what this is about. So save $20 right now at brightonstore.com. On Ranger Buckets, which are, of course, certified organic, lab-tested, long-term storable food, packed in vacuum-sealed brick bags inside the polyethylene buckets, which themselves are quite rugged, and they're sealed. And together, it's a very rugged setup for long-term shelf life. So, and then Thursday again, healthrangerstore.com. Load up on food while you can. I'm certain this is the most affordable, storable organic food that you're ever going to see until the end of the dollar. I have no qualms in stating that. It's never going to be cheaper than this. Now, there is cheaper food, don't get me wrong. There's cheaper, you know, kind of non-organic survival food that's grown with pesticides and glyphosate and GMOs. You can find that stuff. That's, yeah, for sure. That's out there. But you're not going to find anything cheaper probably ever that's organic and lab-tested and ready for long-term storage. So check it out, and we thank you for your support. Oh, and finally, here's a story from thepostmillennial.com, which is about the phone seizures here. Breaking: feds seized Trump advisors' phones in January 6 investigation. So they're using this, the whole January 6 hoax, really a Fed surrection. You know, the FBI set the whole thing up and carried it out. But they're using it as a justification to confiscate the private phones of people who are close to Trump. So one of those people is Boris Epstein, who was in-house counsel who helped coordinate Mr. Trump's legal efforts and so on. And the phones of John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark were also seized. And Clark's phone was seized as part of an investigation into alternate electors. So let me explain something about phones being seized and what you can do to protect yourself from phone seizures and why they're doing phone seizures. So here's, this is going to be hard for a lot of people to hear. Number one, if you're not yet running a de-Googled Android phone, then you're carrying around a spy machine. So if you're using iPhone, it's a spy machine. If you're using Google Android, which is just the standard Android, it's every Android that you find everywhere is a Google Android. It's got all Google spy code on it. It actually sends back something like 6 to 10 megabytes of spy data on you to the Google servers every single day. Your phone is a spy machine. The iPhone sends back even more data to Apple, also a spy machine. How do you think the feds arrested all these people who were peacefully protesting on J6? They went to the phone companies and they did a geofencing warrant. And they asked the phone companies for the IMSI numbers, which is the phone hardware chips that talk to the cell towers. They wanted the IMSI numbers of anybody that had been in this specific geofencing radius. And then they got people's names from that. And then they went and visited them and arrested them and threw them in jail just for being there, just for standing inside a virtual perimeter, which was only defined after the fact. So you might have been at January 6th totally innocent, nonviolent, peaceful, calling for peace, everything. But if you stepped foot in a virtual perimeter, you went to jail because your phone spied on you. All right? And by the way, there are Stingray devices that can read all these IMSI numbers as well. We're actually going to interview an expert about all of this on our show, decentralize.tv. So number one, you need to be running a de-Googled Android phone. And a de-Googled phone would use an operating system like Graphene OS or Lineage OS. There's a couple of others. And if you don't use this, again, you're carrying around a spy machine. The second thing to realize is that the reason the feds need to take people's phones is because a lot of people are using private messaging apps such as Signal. Now, the phone companies do not have the messages that you've sent on private messaging apps like Signal. Phone companies do have your plain text SMS messages. But what the FBI has found out is that rather than going to the phone company and requesting some kind of, you know, terrorist warrant from the phone company, all they got to do is go seize your phone. And they take your phone back to the FBI labs and they plug it into a downloader. And this downloader just downloads everything on your phone from the eMMC chips and everything. And it just all the partitions just downloads. It's got your contacts. It's got your call logs. It's got your photographs. It's got your browsing history. Basically, everything on your phone is then downloaded. They've got it. And then they can just give you your phone back. They did this to Mike Lindell, for example. It took his phone, copied everything off, gave it back a few days later. But a lot of people don't know that on apps like Signal, you can set a message delete time. You can also do this on Telegram, for example. And it's just good privacy practice to do this. So you could have your messages delete after, you know, 5 days or 1 day or 30 minutes, depending on the sensitivity of what you're discussing. You know, if you're a Democrat planning on rigging the next election, you might want to set that to 2 minutes, you know, so there's no incriminating evidence of your ballot stuffing or whatever you're up to, or your crack habit if you're Hunter, right? So be sure to set the disappearing messages on Signal or other apps that you're using. And by the way, don't send anything in plain text. Don't text people and don't call people. Use privacy apps like Session or Signal or Telegram or you know, other apps. There are even more privacy-oriented apps that should be used to communicate with people. Another thing that you can do, by the way, is switch your phone every month or something, or every few months. I know it sounds like a lot of work. It is. But the longer you've had your phone, the more stuff is on it, right? The more web logs, the more call logs, more stuff. And this might be perfectly innocent stuff, but it could be used to incriminate you if it's quoted out of context. It's like, oh, this person said that, you know, the government's rogue, and then look how much ammo they purchased. Look at all their ammo purchasing logs, right? Clearly, they're insurrectionists trying to, you know, take up arms or whatever nonsense they're saying. So it'd be a good idea to not carry around a portfolio of all your logs of buying ammunition on your phone that FBI can take at any moment, right? It just seems crazy. So, like, number one, don't make sensitive purchases. Again, I'm not saying it's anything illegal. I mean, I buy ammo. I mean, I'm a Texan, and I practice, you know, handguns and rifles and long-range shooting and whatever, so I buy ammo all the time. But I don't do it on my phone, you see. And everything that you text, even in Signal, you should always assume that that text is going to end up in the hands of the government. You should just make that assumption. So don't text anything that's incriminating. Don't text anything. Don't talk to people on Signal and say stupid things like, oh, it's time to rise up and overthrow. You know, no, don't do that. Because that got some people some serious prison time, by the way, for using words like that related to J6. You know, all their texts and things were quoted, and some people were having some pretty, you know, blood-boiling type of talk. And it got him into a lot of trouble. And by the way, personally, I don't think that an armed uprising is a way to resolve the issues anyway. You know, I think there are better solutions, such as opting out of the system, you know, or using elections when you can in order to throw the bastards out and replace them with, you know, people who are real representatives of the people. But I also think that restoring freedom of speech is a critical component of this, which is why I built Brighteon. And it's why I'm working with the Qortal project. That's Qortal, Qortal. To have a decentralized video content publishing system there, by the way, which is coming. It's a major announcement that I just kind of leaked out there. But that's coming. So I believe in peace, but I believe in speech also, right? Not an armed uprising, but you see, everything that you do can be taken out of context. So you gotta stop carrying around a spy machine. You. Yeah, I know. You're like, it's gonna be a hassle. I don't want to change my phone. Yeah, it's gonna be a hassle. It is. You gotta do it. Or a day is gonna come where that phone and whatever you have on that phone, even though you did nothing wrong, but it's gonna be used against you. It can be taken from you. It can be used to prosecute you, to take away your freedom, to confiscate your money, all kinds of things. So don't let that phone testify against you in some kind of a twisted kangaroo court setting. Change phones. In fact, if you change over to a de-Googled phone, this is a great way to change the phone anyway. And where do you get de-Googled phones? Well, you can buy them on eBay. There's all kinds of sellers that sell de-Googled phones. And by the way, the hardware that they often use, and they reinstall a whole new operating system, but the most popular hardware for de-Googled phones is the Google Pixel phone. That's just been completely wiped, like memory wiped, like you took the Terminator, wiped its memory, and then you downloaded your program for the Terminator, and now the Terminator is protecting John Connor, you see? So you take a Google Pixel phone, which is an enemy phone, and then you wipe it, and you re-flash it, and you put graphene on it, and you load up the all new system files, or at least the people do this for you when they sell you one of these phones, and then you don't have Google files on the phone. It doesn't even talk to Google. By the way, it doesn't work with Google Play services either. So if you need apps that have to use Google Play, it's not going to work on this phone. Just saying. There's a simulation system called Micro G, if you're curious, that works with the Lineage OS. It's called Micro G. It means like micro Google, and it simulates Google Play for a lot of apps that need Google Play, like, I don't know, Lyft or Uber or mapping apps and things like that. So that's another alternative to consider. But you need to learn about privacy. And in fact, there's a guy on YouTube, I think his name is Braxman. I think it's Rob Braxman. B-R-A-X-M-A-N. Let me, here it is. Rob Braxman, he's on YouTube, and this is someone that I wouldn't mind having on as a guest at some point, by the way. But Rob Braxman, he's known as the Internet Privacy Guy. He's a public interest hacker and technologist. And search for his videos about de-Googled phones, and you'll learn a lot. And his information is actually very accurate and very, very good. So you got to get up to speed on this. You know, Google and Apple work with the deep state, and they've convinced everybody to carry around spy devices. And then Amazon has convinced people to install spy devices in their homes. Like, have Alexa and talk to it. Tell it your secrets. Alexa, what do I do if I have three sexually transmitted diseases all at once? You know, and they have log files on all of this, right? Alexa, what do I do if my bonus hole won't clean out completely? What do I do? You know, Alexa knows every weird private thing about you, which is crazy. Why are you telling Amazon all your secrets and all your diseases and sicknesses and concerns? Alexa, what do I do if I feel like shooting myself? You know, it's like, what? Why do people do this? It's insane. And there are multiple devices in people's homes that people buy and they put in their homes, and there are spy devices, from the Nest thermostats that have microphones in them to the Ring doorbells that are listening and watching everything and uploading it to the cloud. to remember that one time there was a scandal involving Roomba, where Roomba was like roaming around the house with his camera and it was taking pictures of people on the toilet, all butt naked. And that turned up, got released by some group that was doing something with Roomba. I don't know, it was like a support training group or something. I forgot all the details, but it was like, my vacuum cleaner took a picture of my ass. You know, and this is true. This is happening today. So if you value your privacy, if you think that your ass is your business and not the internet's business, for example, which I know that wouldn't apply to the Kardashians, but I'm just saying for normal people with normal shapes, you don't want that on the internet. So don't have spy robots roaming around your house masquerading as vacuums. Okay? Don't have spy machines everywhere. Don't have Alexa. Don't have things that you talk to that process your voice, because they have to listen, obviously, by definition, all the time. Otherwise, how do they know when you say their name? How does Alexa know when you say, hey, Alexa? What, you think it's not listening until you say Alexa? Well, how does it know that you said Alexa if it's not listening? I mean, people, this is so obvious. Who, seriously, millennials, they love to install spy machines in their homes for some reason. If there's some millennials listening to this, talk to your friends and peers and find out why they're such idiots who keep buying and installing spy machines all over their homes. And like, well, I have nothing to hide. What about your ass, huh? I bet you don't want that all over the internet. At least not unless you're getting paid on, what's that site? OnlyFans. Yeah, unless you're getting paid on OnlyFans, then maybe you do want it on the internet. But otherwise, you don't want your ass on the internet for free. So stop buying spy machines. Okay? Jeez. I don't even know why I have to explain this. You can tell I get a little riled up about this thing. It's just that people are just morons. Why would you even pay for spy machines to spy on you all day long? People do that. It's crazy. All right, take a deep breath with all that out of the way. Whew. Yeah, I don't have any of those spy devices. Let me tell you, none of that stuff. And no vaccine injections either, no microcircuitry, no 5G, none of that garbage. With all that said, let's jump into the interview with Dave Hodges, which I think you will find fascinating for different reasons. So here we go, Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, with a lot of intel about CBDCs and the invasion of America and so much more. The money supply, the BRICS system. Fascinating interview. Here we go. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show. Welcome to the show, Dave. It's great to have you on. It's been too long, by the way.
It's been too long, and it's great to be back with you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the last time we talked. I think we were focusing on the imminent invasion of the United States, which has only, frankly, increased in terms of the pre-positioning of Chinese agents. You know, Michael Yan has covered that across the border. Can we start with a quick update right there? How your warning has actually been vindicated with all the military age males coming across the border?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. 8-10 years ago, when I first started covering this, I was the subject of a lot of scorn and derision. And then people started to see, hey, it's really happening. And Steve Quayle was on top of this as well. And he took a lot of heat for the same thing, but we know it's true. As you know, one of my broadcast partners, Doug Thornton, former DHS supervisor, been at the border, fought ATF. He has sources. I have sources in the Border Patrol. And the Chinese are crossing our southern border in great numbers. And it's all males, 20s, 30s, physically fit, in great shape. And as a result, Mike, they're pre-positioning. Now, one thing I want to point out, they're not coming across with AK-47s. They're not coming in armored troop carriers. But I believe a lot of their support has been pre-positioned. And I have good basis to say that, because during the Antifa riots in Portland, and Doug and I talked about this when he was active duty in Portland. In fact, he was actually in charge for a while. And we talked about it. I said, what about these weapons caches they're finding around the country? He said, that's not for Antifa. That's not their MO. He said, that's Chinese. And I totally agree with him.
What estimate of numbers are we looking at? Because I've heard some numbers, pretty broad range of how many are already positioned in the United States, but I've heard numbers from 100,000 to 400,000. What are you hearing?
I'd be in that same range. I would have said 250,000. They're going to be fifth column forces, Mike. This is not an invasion force per se. Think of the 101st Airborne that dropped in the night before the D-Day invasion. Their job was to capture roads, blow up railroads, blow up bridges so the tanks couldn't attack the beach. That's going to be their main objective, is to take down the grid and do a lot of disruptive exercises. They're not the main invasion force, but they set the stage for the main invasion force. But I do think I have a handle on when it's going to happen. And it's not a calendar date. It's driven by objective. I believe if the U.S. falls into any kind of civil conflict, or if we go to war with Russia, I believe China will take advantage of the situation and immediately launch an invasion.
Well, we are really close to that war with Russia, as you know, Biden calling up 3,000 reservists in the military, and also the U.S. sending virtually all of its artillery and ammunition for artillery and other armored vehicles, Bradleys and so on, basically stripping the military bases across the country and shipping that over to currently Poland, it looks like, in what looks like preparation for a ground war with Russia. So isn't that, I mean, this is like Sun Tzu, Art of War, almost, that Russia and China are convincing the U.S. to deplete its own domestic defenses and leaving the country vulnerable.
Well, there's the Chinese brown shirts I would add into this discussion, too. And I'm speaking about what we call the Biden administration, although he's not doing anything. It's his people doing something. And they basically have stripped us of our ability to defend ourselves. I think before the invasion happens, we will deploy troops outside the country, so we'll be more vulnerable. I mean, more so than we've already done. And I really believe we've never been in as much danger. I'm going to tell you another thing that's going to happen too, Mike, and no one talks about this. Chinese control the cartel. We have hundreds of thousands of dead Americans because of fentanyl poisoning, courtesy of the Chinese through the cartel. If we don't think that the cartel are being trained, and we know they are, we know they're being trained at various places in Central America, and this has been going on for a long time. This isn't anything recent, that they will be involved in military operations as well, probably assassinations, which is why I think they had MS-13 come in big numbers in the very beginning. We were catching a lot of MS-13. Yeah. Well, their job in Central America is to be the hitmen for the cartels, and I think they're the ones that will take out key personnel. But there's something else that I've had discussion on, and this is really interesting. And I talked to a guest just this morning about this, and he's heard the same thing. I have a very close contact, and I'm not going to identify the type of relationship because I'm not going to fry the person, nor am I going to say what they did in the military. But they had occasion to talk to many base commanders, particularly in the West. And now, subsequently, I've talked to three of these commanders. All four people say the same thing, that when the war with China starts, they're not taking orders from Washington. And although the Pentagon is largely lost, I've been told 50-50 split. I think it's worse than that. The Joint Chiefs are totally compromised. Milley was a total sellout to China with his Afghanistan withdrawal testimony when he said, I'd notify my Chinese counterpart if we were going to war with Russia. And I thought, well, how many thousands of American lives would that cost? So I look at this, Mike, and I'm saying that there's an attitude in the military that they know that 1 in 9 active duty people have been forced out either by death or by severe disability because of vaccines. 1 in 8 officers, so 1 in 9 enlisted men. They know that. They know woke is being recruited into the military to weaken our military. They're well aware of this.
Yes.
And like I said, people close to me have talked about this incessantly. So these, I hate to say it's a branch, but I think it's more Marines than anything else. But there is a group of military that are not going to take orders. I'll give you a nightmare scenario that I could really see happening. And people need to realize, before I tell this story, this has basis in fact. When Obama left office about 2 weeks before, he signed something called the Kigali Principles, which was a treaty with the UN in which the 28 member nations, upon the request of an executive officer like a president, said, hey, we're in civil disruption or we have a pandemic. Please send your troops in. And 28 nations were eligible to send troops. And that was a big red flag for me. By the way, that was totally illegal. It was a treaty, just like this treaty with the World Health Organization, totally at Biden's discretion. This was totally at Obama's discretion. It needs to go through the Senate for a two-thirds approval vote. But nonetheless, we have signed away our rights to maintain sovereignty inside of civil conflict or a pandemic. The UN has the right, according to this agreement, to put UN troops on our soil. And I'll tell you, a big red flag for me, I don't know if you heard this, but Stoltenberg, the head of the UN, threatened to put the Ukrainian Nazis, Yasmov, into Paris to quell the riots. And I says, uh-oh, the UN's already saying we don't care about your sovereignty. And I'm thinking, when does that happen here? Mm-hmm. And I think when it happens here, Mike, is when one branch of the military faces off against another. And do you remember Jade Helm too?
Yeah.
Jade Helm too in Texas had activities where they had crisis actors hired as ex-American military who were now labeled, quote, as guerrilla chieftains who were disaffected from America and they had to be brought under control. In other words, they didn't say it this plainly, but it was one part of the military versus a part that was no longer with the government. And this happened under Obama's watch.
But the reason I think this is highly relevant is because when China does activate its agents that are pre-positioned in the United States, it's very likely that the Obama / Biden regime will be cooperating with China at that point to, of course, overthrow the United States. So the treason will be coming out of Washington, which I think alludes to what you just said. So some branches of the military or sectors of the military will say, we're not taking orders from Washington because they're involved in treason. But, you know, one of the biggest questions is going to be the United States Navy and the, you know, the nuclear submarines and the aircraft carriers and so on. What does the Navy choose to do? Because clearly China would probably be engaged at the same time with an embargo against Taiwan, possibly an invasion attempt against Taiwan. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I first thought China would invade Taiwan when conflict with Russia broke out because we'd be so distracted and unable to stop it. I'm of the opinion now, and I've got some pretty good support from military contacts, that China's probably going to bypass Taiwan. And if they see a chance to attack America, Taiwan's an afterthought. They'll probably just give up knowing that they don't have American support, and they'll try to negotiate the best deal they can. You got to remember, last year, on September 1st, Biden went before the American people in a red devilish background, misusing the Marines who were standing at his side as guards. Total, total unprofessional behavior. And he labeled everybody like you and me and most of America as being domestic terrorists because we're America first. He called us MAGA. He's setting the stage for if there is a rising up of combination of military and citizenry, they'll be labeled as the traitors that I warned you about in September of 2022.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Now, accelerating all of this, let's get to the fact that the BRICS nations are meeting next month, which would be August of 2023, to discuss, of course, rolling out what Russia is describing as a gold-backed cryptocurrency to be used for international settlements among nations that are planning on ditching the dollar. So it's at least 40 nations, and I've heard, you probably heard, it's over 100, actually. You know, you've heard of Operation Sandman and so on.
I've heard 160 are converted or are in process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a global repudiation of the dollar, and it could begin as early as next month, quite literally. Now, in that scenario,
Go ahead. Let me just say this. I don't think it's going to be a next week dollar's done, because the dollar's so integrated into so many economies, every economy on the planet, the extrication cannot happen overnight.
Agreed.
There's too much entanglement. But to say that we have a year would be a really overestimation. We don't have a year. We maybe have months.
A year is even pretty fast for this, like you said. I mean, most trades and most debt is currently denominated in dollars, so it will take time And, you know, certain debt instruments will roll over after a year or 5 years or even 10 years in some cases. So this is going to be a gradual thing, but still rapid, right? I mean, the shift is just historic. So the dollar is going to become more and more useless internationally, which also means that as they print more dollars in the United States, there's less of a global money supply to buffer the devaluation of that currency. So doesn't this mean that within 2 years, Americans could be really living through a Venezuelan type of hyperinflation scenario?
I think it's going to be sooner than that. You don't have to have a complete repudiation of the money worldwide to get the effect of hyperinflation. Right now, we're losing status as the world reserve currency. And we have a $32 trillion debt. That's a really bad combination. And I believe a natural disaster in the country, setting off a nuclear bomb, the threat of war, I think that could be a trigger event for the unfolding of our economy. And I think it's a planned event.
Okay, I agree with you. Yeah, I think it's a trigger event as well. But also then, won't this accelerate the desperate measures of the establishment to roll out CBDCs?
Yeah, they have to put us on our knees before we'll take it. But right now, they're doing a warm-up. They have brought in the Fed coin, and I believe it becomes operational on the 25th of this month. And they keep changing the date, but the 25th is the latest I've heard. And the Fed coin is wonderful. You don't have to wait 3 to 5 days to cash your check and be able to act upon it. Instant transference of payments and collections, no waiting, no check in the mail kind of thing. So it's really convenient. I don't see any flaws with it whatsoever. The Fed coin is wonderful, but see, I believe it's the Trojan horse of what's going to follow. They're setting up CBDCs, and we're seeing the World Economic Forum and the World Bank and Gates. Bill Gates is heavily involved in this with digital ID, but they're setting up right now a public-private partnership to move us into implementing the United Nations 2030 agenda of SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals. And that's going to underline the phase-in system that's going to happen after FedNow when CBDC comes in. I have seen on the Federal Reserve videos, they appear to have six phases in mind right now, and each one is progressively more stringent than the rest. But with SDGs, you will be environmentally friendly. Getting gas will be very problematic if you're able to do it. In fact, I read some projections out of this that said things, when they have this in place after stage three or stage four, you won't be able to fly in an airplane except once every 3 years, and your limitation will be 500 miles.
Wow.
And then also, too, you will not have a gas burning car. You'll be limited to buying 3 items of clothing a month. I mean, they have it down to a finite thing. So people said, I'll never eat bugs when the World Economic Forum came out with that. Well, they can make you eat bugs because they will control the CBDC in its final form will be totally digital. And when it's totally digital, there's no privacy. They know how you spend your money, where you spend your money, and they can put limits on you. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you happen to have bought red meat last month. You're over your quota. We're not doing that, and we're assessing you a penalty. And we don't like what you said in a public forum about the ruling class, so we're seizing your bank account. And I believe beta tests for this were done, like with the truckers protest in Ottawa, where Trudeau came along, and if you were a trucker that was there, they took your bank account. If you gave $20 or a pizza to a trucker there, they took your bank account. And I believe they were measuring what the public's response would be. I thought it was a beta test. And I think they measured it and said, yeah, we can probably get away with this. And that's where CBDC will control everything. Now, I'll say this, the old phrase from Klaus Schwab, you'll own nothing and love it. That's not quite right. You will control nothing and love it. You'll have your property. You'll have your tokenizations. In other words, they're going to convert everything into tokens. Your home is worth so many tokens. Your clothes are worth so many tokens. But the tokens are held kind of like a central clearinghouse for cryptocurrency. That's the way I kind of envision this, kind of like what ISO does today for 75% of all cryptos.
Yeah, you're talking about the unified ledger, the BIS ledger.
There you go, proposal. Exactly. And see, that's what they're going to use to control everything at the base level of CBDC. It is the unified ledger. You're exactly right.
So, well, that brings up an interesting conversation. I haven't talked with you about this privately, but the future of money will be digital. And it'll either be that you're forced as a slave under the unified ledger type of system where the government controls everything, or, as I've been recently covering, I've become a reformed privacy crypto enthusiast for a number of reasons, and coming to realize that in certain kinds of privacy crypto, like Monero, you have custody of your own coins. They can't take it. They can't confiscate it. They don't even know how much you have. And I've actually found many, many use cases where crypto worked so much better than the traditional banking system. For example, just giving out donations. You know, we recently gave out a lot of donation money, $500,000 or so, to various groups, thanks to Gary Haven.
And thank you and Gary for giving me my donation. I appreciate that.
Yes, Gary, and Gary loves your work, and he gave his permission to share his name. But, you know, Gary wrote us a check to our nonprofit, and then we had trouble cashing that, and then we had trouble issuing the donations to various parties, and then when those parties got their checks, they had trouble cashing those checks. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was thinking this whole thing would have been easier with Bitcoin or Monero. Yeah. It just would have been instant and done, and without all this customer service. Oh, I got to get my manager and their manager and their screw your managers. You know what? We don't need your managers. It's called Bitcoin or Monero. Just send it. I mean, first I'll send like, you know, 0.0001 to your wallet to make sure I got the right address, right? And then you tell me you got the 0.00 whatever, and then I send the big donation. Done. It's done. I mean, crypto, it just works better than the banks now. It's amazing.
Yeah. You and Gary's donation, I was gone for a significant amount of time. Then my wife had surgery. So we got behind on our mail. But we were able to track that check that you sent on behalf of Gary. And the origination date was the middle of May. We didn't get it until the third week in June.
Wow. Wow.
That's a true story. Now, your assistant was kind enough to contact me and said, Dave, you should look for this. The person that was watching our mail misidentified what it was. They thought it was a scam. But we had it categorized by date, third week in June. So somebody didn't want that to get here very quickly, that's for sure.
Yeah, see, we use an online bill payment service to issue all those checks, and they actually flagged the initial distributions as fraud, and they froze them all. And then they contacted us, and they said, why are you sending out $500,000 to all these people? Right? Because, again, it's not your money under this traditional financial system. It's not your money. And I repeat myself, if I had just, I would have just opened up my Monero wallet, you know, private digital money, and I would have just issued all the, you know, here's, you know, 10 XMR, boom, done. And it would have been done. And nobody can stop it, and I don't need anybody's permission. But see, this is a great lesson for me, and I think our audience, is that under our current system, have you noticed this, Dave, how banks have more and more restrictions? Not allowed to wire as much, not allowed to withdraw as much. They're asking more and more questions. It's a stranglehold.
It's conditioning. Conditioning us.
Yes, and the noose is going to get tighter and tighter to the point where you're only allowed a little trickle of your own money. And I'm done with that. I'm getting out of that whole system right now.
Mike, it's not your money either. The Dodd-Frank law, and I talk about this a lot because I'm in the gold business. The Dodd-Frank law of 2010. Said that when you put your money in the bank, you're technically an unsecured creditor.
That's right.
And the bank can do anything with your money that they want. And see, this was done then under Obama to set the stage for what was coming. Now, what was coming was supposed to have already happened. I make this analogy. You had Executive Order 13603, which is the takeover of everything by the president in a self-declared emergency. You had the NDAA. We can snatch you off the street without due process. All these bizarre, unconstitutional things came in, civil rights abuses in Obama, and everyone's saying, well, when is he going to do something with this? That wasn't his objective. To use a baseball analogy, he was like the eighth inning setup pitcher. Hillary was to be the ninth inning closer. Uh-huh. And she's the one that would have acted on these things. Trump came in and undid a lot, like the TRP and corporate control over our government. He got rid of that right away. And he set the globalists back in their takeover. Now they're just beginning to catch up on 2.5 years of Biden to try to position where they're going to start enforcing what's coming. And by the way, If people want a roadmap for what's coming, exclusive of CBDC and Dodd-Frank, except for that, everything is contained in what was either passed by Congress with Obama's approval or Obama's executive orders. And I would encourage everybody to dive into Executive Order 13603. It's not just a draft. There's civilian conscription without pay, slavery. It's complete control of every resource, including food. If you produce food, your land is not your own. It's right there in the executive order. In fact, I've been asked by a couple of people when I reported on this in 2012 to resurface this and start republishing, which I'm probably going to do at the end of the week.
That's funny. I was just mentioning the NDAA in a previous interview I did here today, exactly the same thing, because I recall they can come confiscate seeds, fuel, tractors, farm equipment, livestock, anything. And they can just take the food right out of your garden. But getting back to money, and you mentioned gold, and lately I've been encouraging people to look at just three things as assets, asset protection, and that's gold and silver and crypto, certain types of crypto.
I agree. And I couldn't agree with you more.
The thing that those three things have in common is you have custody over all three. So gold and silver, you know, I don't encourage people to vault it somewhere else. I say take possession.
Exactly.
Have it in your possession. Maybe you hide it somewhere. Maybe you bury it. I don't know. But at least you know where it is. You can get it.
And storable food.
Yeah, exactly. Storable food always has a role. But the and the privacy crypto is portable. So if you become a refugee from your own city, your own home, I mean, you might have to flee wherever you are listening to this. You know, if you're in Los Angeles, for example, you might be a refugee fleeing LA. You might not be able to bring your silver with you, but digital private money is something you can take with you. You can just memorize the seed phrase in your mind. You have a wallet in your mind, and then you can reaccess that money when you get to your destination by re-entering the seed phrase and restoring the wallet. Boom, you've got that. But then gold and silver have the advantage that they work even when the power grid fails. So everything's got its ups and downs, but I tell people don't trust anywhere that you have to have where somebody else has possession, because you may lose access.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't agree. Everything you said is what I've been echoing, but I do have to give a disclaimer in the interest of being transparent. You can stay one step ahead of the burning bridge with the three items that you mentioned, but there could come a time under central bank digital currency, if you're maintaining a certain standard of living, it'll be like the IRS. Well, how are you paying for this? You only show this much income in the system, but you're living at this level of income. So where is this money coming from? And that would be a difficult thing for people to overcome. So I think you either got to be all the way in the system or all the way out of the system. But I'm also a Christian too, Mike, and I wanted to make sure I say this. There's no way that I see that this digital currency, when it's finally implemented, and I believe it's going to be a chip implant in the right hand or the forehead, as foretold in Revelation. And I do think this is the mark of the beast. And they're acting like the mark of the beast, because the end result of the implementation of CBDC is you will only do approved things in our system. That's mark of the beast talk.
Right. Well, exactly. And to answer your previous question there, one of the things I've taught in my online books and so on is to dress down and do not appear wealthy. Don't flash wealth. Don't drive a luxury car. Don't live in a luxury house even. And I know it's hard for people because we live in such a materialistic type of society, but we're entering an age where you don't want to be seen as someone who has more money than the others around you. And, you know, there are lots of ways to achieve this, but you want to fit in. And when people are going broke, you want to fit in with that profile. Whatever that looks like, you know, you don't want to be standing out. And also think about reparations. So we have in California, and there've been proposals by Democrats in Colorado to take money from white businesses and give it to people of color. I mean, to literally just go door to door, taking money from white businesses. Oh, you're a white restaurant owner. Well, you know, give us whatever you have in your cash register, just like the mafia. And so if you have money or you appear to have money, you're going to be targeted for race-based reparations. Think about that.
Yeah, I agree. And you're going to have to find a way to come up with that. The one thing I would say, though, about the detection of you being outside the system. This all started in the Clinton years. And a lot of people don't know this, but the banks now, if you come in and you have a high amount of money, usually it's $10,000 or greater, it'll trigger what they call a cash transaction report. It goes to the IRS. And if they get it for a second month, then they have cause to act against you. You now fall under the structuring laws, and they can come in and they can surveil everything about you financially. They can shut you down totally economically until they're satisfied you're not cheating. So you've got to be really, really careful. But it's interesting, when these came in, they came under a Democratic president, Bill Clinton. They're still in effect today. They say, well, we need this to catch money laundering. No, I believe it was a long range plan to try to catch people not inside the system. And it's even at the local level. There's a suburb. I live in rural Maricopa County. We're unincorporated, but the nearest city to us is about 20 miles to the south. It's called Surprise, Arizona. And they're as liberal as the day is long. And I understand that when people have advertised garage sales, you're required to get a permit and pay a tax on it. They'll send agents out to your, and they'll estimate how much you've made. And then they'll present you with an inquiry. Did you do this?
Wow.
Did you pay? This is happening at the city level. This is how crazy this is.
Wow.
But garage it sales. All fits into the total economic control. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound like I'm hitting the panic button, but if we allow CBDC to be implemented, it's the end of our freedom, and I don't think there's any way to get it back. And as a Christian, I look at it, I said, that's the beginning of the tribulation. We'll have 3.5 years of kind of benign stuff, and then 3.5 years of hell. This is what I think the trigger will be CBDC, Mark of the Beast. But let's take religion out of it for a second, Mike. Even if there was no God, there is no Jesus, if they get control of how you spend your money, how far you can travel, how many clothing items you can buy, if they can get you to that level, they can control what you eat, they can control your speech, they can control who you associate with. I mean, right now, I don't know if you know this or not, but in fact, I'm actually talking to him tomorrow, a former NSA friend. And from him, I've learned the NSA keeps a threat matrix score on us. See, CBDC will be just continuing what's already going on, because you have a 16 scale score from the NSA, completely private, and there's an aggregate score. And it basically measures things like compliance, prone to revolution. And I don't know all the dimensions, but this is what I've been told. It measures your basic ability to fit into what's coming. And they've already divided us numerically. And I've asked the question, where's the cutoff point? We don't even know all the items that are being measured, but we know they're being measured by AI, and the NSA is in charge of it. And they house this operation in Utah and Fort Huachuca in Arizona. This is real deal. I'm 100% sure of what I'm telling you. So your social credit score already exists. It's just a matter of when CBDC comes in and social credit appears alongside of it, they'll just match up what they already have with what is.
Yeah, well, exactly. This is one of those cases where you don't want to have the high score either. But of course, just by speaking, you're being scored just by the words you use. But look, going back to what you said about assets, I just want to clarify something and urge people to think about the timeline here, because the window to exit the traditional financial system is closing. So if you want to get gold or silver or crypto, you know, time is running out to do that. But Dave, I'm not talking about tax evasion of any kind, or I'm talking about taking post-tax money and simply converting it from dollars into gold and silver and crypto, and then just being able to hold on to it so that you don't lose it while the dollar collapses. I don't have any intentions of carrying out any criminal acts, you know, using any of these things. I just want to not lose the money that I've already worked hard to earn and already paid taxes on, you know, huge taxes. And then I would rather not lose all of this. That's all. So it's just a translation into something else. And even that, no doubt, will get me a high score on the threat matrix, probably.
Well, yeah, if you use credit card to purchase gold, for example, they know how much you have in that purchase. They can estimate by the amount the average user fee, which is between 12 and 15%. I mean, it's pretty, they can narrow down pretty well. The idea is to try to purchase this stuff off the books as much as possible. There will be parallel economies. There'll be, you know, like what they had in Russia after the fall in 89-90, where everything was done on the black market. I think there'll be quite an effort to that, but you got to remember surveillance is much more sophisticated now.
Yes.
And I read something the other day, Mike, that said that the average American has 7 to 10 devices in their home that listen to them and can report on them.
That's crazy.
This is where your threat matrix score is coming from.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Dave. You're absolutely correct. But these people voluntarily buy these devices, right? Like Amazon Alexa and the Ring doorbells and their Nest thermostats that have microphones in them and their smart TVs and everything. It's crazy to me that people buy these devices and then they log in, they sign in and they have Amazon and the CIA and Google listening to all their conversations 24/7, even recording video in their own homes. It's incredible.
Yeah. Vizio TV. Do you remember that scandal?
Yeah.
Videotaping people while they're having sex in their bedroom. That was a huge scandal. So yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. It's going to be hard to escape from it. You literally have to be totally off the grid and untraceable, which means you really can't own property. How are you going to pay your property tax if you can't demonstrate a means of income?
Well, I mean, there are a number of experts that talk about things like PMAs and land patents and so on. I know you've talked to some of those folks as well.
But if your land is tokenized, which is what CBDC will do.
Oh, right.
They control the token at the base level. They technically own your land, right, and they're kind of leasing it back to you for the price of being a good citizen.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, I mean, that's what the counties do right now, right? They make you pay rent or they come confiscate it and force a sale and then they keep the money. So yeah, we are living under extreme tyranny. But this system, well, let me ask you, I think some of their plans are going to fail, right? This whole CBDC rollout, it's going to be so widely rejected by so many people. I know some will sign up and do it, but those are the people who took the jabs. You know, their life expectancy isn't that long anyway. But for the people who are informed, they're not going to use these CBDCs, or at least they're going to seek alternatives as much as possible. So isn't it possible that a lot of these plans by the globalists actually fail and implode?
It could, but I'll say this about food. You better have your own.
Yeah.
When they collapse the economy, Mike, it's going to be a situation where if you want to eat, you're going to be in our system. But if you're independent of them, then you can stay outside the system at least for a while. This is what gold, crypto, and silver do, and also food. It allows you to stay outside their system for an undetermined amount of time. Eventually, I think there's a comeuppance that will happen based on your lifestyle versus what you claim you have in the system. But in the initial phases, people can escape the tyranny by being self-sufficient to a point.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And this is where we're at. Now, here's another thing about CBDC that people don't realize. Look at the most extreme things in the United Nations. What I learned is the World Economic Forum, in combination with Bill Gates, because he wants to give you digital ID that'll be part of CBDC, so he's part of this. That's the private entity that's moving towards central bank digital currency, the WEF and all its minions. The public part of it is actually the World Bank. And the World Bank is the governmental part. And that pulls in international partners like the IMF and so forth. And so you have this public-private partnership moving towards this, and they're all governed by SDG goals. In other words, under the new system, if you want to borrow money, let's say you want to buy a house or make a purchase on whatever it would be, you have to be credit worthy, but you have to show that you're carbon friendly. SDG goals out of the United Nations is the determining factor for this. And I want to answer something here, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this. A lot of people ask me, Dave, why did Target and Bud Light and Disney, why do they choose the woke path when they're going broke? Well, here's why they don't. They don't stand up, and they have to go along with the woke. They get an ESG score. Part of the ESG score is directly from SDG, Sustainable Development Goals from the United Nations, if they say, we're not going to go with this woke policy, you know, for LGBTQ or whatever you want us to do, because our customers won't come back. What they're hoping to do is to survive, weather the onslaught, because they know if they're compliant, they'll be in favorable status once the system's in place. Mm-hmm. And so Target and Bud Light and so forth will hope for a comeback. If they fight now, they'll not only get ostracized now, they'll be out of business. Because here's another thing they're going to do under central bank digital currency. They are going to determine what's an essential business and non-essential. Gee, where have we heard that before? It was during the pandemic where the big box stores like Target and Walmart got to stay open, but they sold the same products as the small businesses they closed down,
right,
which made no sense to me whatsoever. But this was part of the process where we gave the government the power to determine an essential, non-essential business. So if Target wants to survive what's coming, they have to be considered to be an essential business. And if you go against woke or anything in SDG, which woke is included in, then they would be out of business. And so this is why we're seeing corporations self-destruct right now.
But Bud Light, let's say, or Anheuser-Busch, you know, Bud Light sales are down 30% or more, and they're, you know, they've lost their position. They're going to continue to lose more customers. At some point, it's not viable economically to push these policies. Target, you know, the boycott against Target is having a huge impact, and people are voting with their dollars to support the projects that are telling the truth, like that new movie, Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, but people won't get to vote once CBDCs are in effect. That's the key here, Mike. Okay, I'm the CEO of Target. I know how this game is played. I'm talking to BlackRock. I know my ESG rating. I know I'm taking hits, but I have a high ESG score. So now here comes the economic collapse. Think 2008, 2009. Who got bailed out? Goldman Sachs got bailed out. Shearson Lehman went broke. Why? Because Goldman Sachs was much more friendly to government operations than Shearson Lehman, who wasn't involved in government operations. So they're the ones that survived the 2009 collapse. This is an analogy to what's going to happen here. When the economic collapse comes, and I believe that will be issued digital ID and all this will come into play after we've had an economic collapse and we're desperate and people will do anything to eat. When that happens, then the businesses will end up, you know, they're either friendly with ESG to the establishment or they're not. And this is what they're hoping to get to. You're right. These businesses right now, they're committing suicide. They're hoping for the transition period to come soon so they can get through that and be established as basically a monopoly in their area. They'll be the essential business of the day.
But you also said vote. What were you referring to when you said you won't get to vote?
Oh, well, elections will be meaningless. Now, we may have perfunctory elections. And as Stalin said, I don't care who votes. I only care who counts the votes. They had votes in the Soviet Union under Stalin. Doesn't mean they're going to mean anything. But I will say this, that you bring up a sidebar. I should mention this. I found out about a meeting that's going to take place with First World Nations. And it's in September of 2024, 2 months before our election. Now, let me just take a look at Biden right now. Biden is basically a barometer of his policy's popularity. Okay, now, Biden's not doing anything, but we use the name Biden to represent the people running our government. And the Biden administration right now has a 30% approval rating, but that's mainstream media. The real number is probably 12, 15%. They can't cheat enough to win the next election. And that, I mean, right now, if they had an election today, the cheating would be so over the top that they wouldn't be able to deny it. I mean, it would be out there. Right now, I think there's more than enough evidence about 2022 and 2020. But that aside, they can't cheat enough. I think they have two options. And I'm going to float the Hodges hypothesis here, Mike. What I basically have told you about CBDC is rooted in fact that you can find with the Federal Reserve. What I'm going to tell you now is supposition on my part. I believe we're going to see a third party emerge, and it's former liberal Democrats who jumped out of the water and sound like they're populist now. Robert Kennedy is no populist. Go back and look at his history on gun control and other liberal issues. Tulsi Gabbard is another one. She was an extremist with abortion, gun control. I mean, kind of hard to believe since she was in the military, but she's another one. And then you've got Joe Manchin making waves now about, oh, we need to have some carbon production here with fuel because he's in West Virginia where they depend on this. I think it's possible that we might see the rise of a Ross Perot type of movement. They'll be disaffected on the surface, ex-Democrats, singing a populist tune, but I think they're Trojan horses, every one of them. I think that they're going to be designed to pull votes away from criminal Trump if he survives all these indictments and so forth and is still running, and he's right now running at a high popularity. Let's pull 20%. That's what Ross Perot polled. Let's pull 20% away from Trump, and the Democrats now might be able to be close enough in the election that cheating could make a difference. I think this is a real possibility going into 2024, but I'll go back to this meeting I just mentioned. It's 2 months before the election. I have a feeling that in this meeting, if they don't feel enough movement can be made to control America, and God forbid we let Donald Trump in with his people, I believe that we'll see extreme domestic terrorism in this country. I think we'll see all kinds of bad things happen, and it'll all be under the guise of trying to prevent the 2024 election. And I want to say this. I've heard people since 92 say there ain't going to be an election, and I always thought that was nonsense. For the first time, I think it's possible. If the Democrats don't believe they can win, they will not allow an election.
Well, I agree with your assessment, but I think they also have an easier way to do it, like Zelensky did in Ukraine. He just said no elections until the war is over, and he declared himself to be a dictator. So what's to stop Biden from doing the same thing? Just say, hey, it's a war. We can't have elections.
There you go. And see, the war is the precipitating cause, or extreme civil unrest, or extreme domestic terrorism. Here goes MAGA. They're the ones blowing up the power plants, not the Chinese we let in. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. All of this is going to happen. CBDC, whether or not we have an election, how it's conducted, it's all going to happen under crisis management.
Well, and a war scenario, which is very easy for the West to provoke against Russia, can also give them a justification for silencing anyone who opposes the Biden regime. They'll just say, you're with Putin. You can't criticize Biden. It's just like Zelensky did in Ukraine. All opposition media is outlawed. And some of them were assassinated, rounded up, arrested in other cases. I mean, look at Gonzalo Lira. They arrested him. He's disappeared now for several months because he was speaking out against Zelensky. So
here's the problem they have, though, Mike. Those people didn't have 400 million handguns in their country.
Yeah.
This is why they push gun control. I mean, my feeling is these mass shootings, they're orchestrated in most cases. I think you have some copycats, but I think most of them are orchestrated. And I won't get into the where's and why's and so forth, but I think if you really want to look at how they could do it, go back and look at the latest generation of MKUltra. It's pretty clear that you can manipulate people electronically through electrical frequencies and also the use of drugs like Prozac and so forth. I mean, this has been pretty well established. And remember, do you remember in the old days with the mass shooters, the one variable they all seemed to have in common was Prozac? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, yeah, like Columbine was the first one that really got on my radar about that.
Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Right down the line. And I'm telling you, the technology exists to manipulate people. And they're doing everything they can do to create a crisis to get our guns. And the last thing anyone should ever do is give up your gun. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if your gun's registered, they tell you to give it up. Well, you can give it up, but make sure you have unregistered guns to take their place.
Which is why they're attacking ghost guns, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Or, the 80% receivers and things like that, and the ghost gunner itself. But I agree. But it seems like their efforts to try to take away the guns are definitely failing. You know, the Fifth Circuit has made major decisions. Even the Supreme Court has issued major decisions, I think Bruin being one of them. So the gun control efforts are not going to work in time.
Do you know what that opens up? Chemical attacks.
Yeah. Well,
That's what it opens up. The last four Chinese defense ministers, the most prominent was Wei Fang, the one before this one we have. He said publicly, he said in a CCP speech that got repeated and circulated, he said, we attack the United States, we'll use race-specific bioweapons or we'll do chemical weapons. I mean, this is on the Chinese radar and has been for the last four defense ministers dating back to 2003.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they've got all kinds of weapons in their little bag of tricks. The question is what they're going to roll out first. I mean, you can see taking down the power grid, let's say a false flag cyber attack, or they could mimic an EMP weapon and blame Russia.
All the above.
Yeah, all the above. Right. That's the thing is which one are they going to pull first? And then how many are they going to pile on top of that, like a financial reset on top of this?
I don't think we can say which one comes first. I look at it like this. It's a circular wheel, and you have all these events on the circle. You can enter at any point, but eventually every part is going to become active. They're going to use every element they can to bring down America. America is a hard nation to kill. And, you know, we may be dumbed down to a large extent, but people still understand freedom of speech, private property. And when these things begin to become attacked, when they're coming after your guns and people see what's going on, there's 400 million handguns, 7 million vets, you know, that are a fighting age. This is not an easy task for them to accomplish. So I think they have to throw everything in the kitchen sink at us to accomplish their goal of taking down America.
Well, and at some point they have to transition from the covert stage, which was the vaccines, for example, into an overt stage, which is just open warfare.
One exception. Like, I agree with you. I totally agree. That's likely to happen. But with the agreement that Biden signed, if I remember the World Health Organization with H1N1, they declared a world pandemic based on six cases. I'll never forget that
yeah.
number. Okay. And so that was, I think it was 2008, 2009. All Biden has to do to invoke World Health Organization regulations in this country is to declare a pandemic, and then the World Health Organization regulations come into effect. And if we resist, that's when we'll see UN troops on our soil.
Yeah.
And you know what the World Health Organization treaty says? They'll determine you will take the jab. Okay, so there's your death sentence eventually. You will take the jab. You'll
quarantine,
stay in your home from this time to this time. Exactly.
Yeah.
You won't be, these businesses will be closed. The essential businesses will be open. It's everything that Biden tried to do during the latter days of COVID and got shut down by the Supreme Court. Only now the treaty, which is illegal, Biden did the treaty on his own. It did not go through the Senate, so it's totally illegitimate because it requires a two-thirds vote from the Senate. But Biden will have total control on how the World Health Organization rolls out in this country. And he's using a foreign party proxy to do it. See, they have no accountability to us. We can unelect our congressman if we don't like something, but we have no control over the World Health Organization.
Right. All by design.
Globalist
cabal.
Mike.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
we've covered a lot of territory, but I would say this, it's all going to happen in close proximity to each other.
And that's my last question for you, Dave, is when does all this start popping off? I mean, you already mentioned kind of perhaps close to the election next year, but do we
well in advance? I think it's going to be well in it. Some of it's going to happen earlier than others. Some of it's already happening. Okay. Yesterday, an appeals court upheld Biden's right to basically conspire with big tech to censor American citizens. So the government can take away your First Amendment right, according to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's what that ruling said yesterday. And so some of it's already happening. But I would say this, it's probably going to happen in a big way when it's needed. I think this is event driven. When they need a change of direction, if Trump gains momentum, or if DeSantis and Trump's failure and he goes to jail, if he gains momentum, because people will leave Trump and support the next guy. And I think DeSantis could have a hell of a boost. And if the direction goes in a way that they don't want, that's when we'll see the unfolding of the false flags and then the bringing in these policies like CBDC.
And what kind of event do the globalists fear the most of people doing? Like you said, Trump as one example. They're trying to throw him in jail with new indictments, but what else freaks out the globalists?
Well, right now, what's going on in France? The French people have had enough. What's gone on in Hong Kong previously? People around the world are starting to figure it out, and they're waking up. And this country is right on the edge of a major awakening. I know you see signs of it. I see signs of it. The problem right now, Mike, is we have a country that's largely waking up, but they're not a country that's leading. And I will tell you this. This is how I see this going down. This will be the final thing I'll say, and I'll try to make it quick. The military will not support a civilian uprising unless enough people are involved. And the magic number that I've been told is about 70%. They got to believe 70% people's hearts will support the military because they don't want to be hung as traitors. There's a good portion of military commanders that will join in and protect the people and move in a different direction. And see, Obama knew this when he did Jade Helm 2 and did those exercises against ex-American military units. They know this is coming. How much is coming, they don't know. But I think if we can get people active and we can get people to engage in civil disobedience of various types, I think that moves the military closer to supporting the people. And I'm saying a good portion of the military. And I'll tell you, there's two forces right now that Biden's people don't have control over. They don't control the Space Force. They have all the evidence of voter fraud. They watched it from space on their satellites. And the submarine fleet is still largely an independent operation in the U.S. Navy. Those two elements Biden has not been able to gain control of. And before him, Obama tried with the submarine fleet and he failed. They can replace leaders, but they don't change the inner workings of the organizations. And those are two organizations, I think, that if America does rise up and the military joins, then they got a big problem. Russia and China have a problem because we have 72 subs with 8 to 24 nuclear missiles on them. We have Space Force, and there's nukes in space, and we're unchallenged in space to a large extent. So this is a problem for Russia and China, as well as the Biden administration and the rest of the globalists. And this is a dicey, dicey deal. So I know I've sounded very negative today, so here's my optimism. I don't believe they're going to be able to stop the Space Force. I don't believe they're going to take control of the submarine fleet. And as long as that happens, we have a chance at freedom.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all well said. And it underscores the importance of personal preparedness in all of this, because things are going to get very interesting, we shall say, in the next year or so. So make sure you've got backup supplies of everything that you need, food, communications, the whole deal.
Absolutely.
Garden seeds, extra rounds of 5.56 or whatever you like to run in your rifle. But just for self-defense purposes, I want to, I want to state that nothing that you or I are saying here is calling for any kind of a violent uprising. We want peace.
I'm just talking about likely probabilities based on past history.
Yeah, and we're also talking about
what I already know to be
the American people defending their nation.
I'm too old to fight and too fat to run, so I'm not going to be involved in a civil war unless it's self-defense of my home.
Well, yeah, but the realistic scenario here is we're talking about perhaps communist China invading the United States, and every American would need to pick up a rifle and defend the country, which is our national duty. So those are the types of scenarios that we're talking about. And also, again, who knows what's going to happen between the states and the federal government. Now, we don't want to initiate violence, but we want to keep our communities and our families safe from whatever is happening out there. So that's the context. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Well, I agree with you. We're not advocating for anything illegal. What we're both saying is this, is that you do retain the right to self-defense. And when the communist Chinese show up in our country, and I don't care who invited them in, they come to my yard, we're going to have a fight. And I'll say this too, final comment on this, Mike. 3,000 reservists to Europe. In my mind, I start thinking draft. Thinking civilian draft, military draft from Obama's executive orders. And I'm just saying this, people, this is your line in the sand. Do not let your children, your adult children, go to Ukraine and be slaughtered for military industrial complex profits and to further the goals of the globalists. Do not sacrifice your kids. Say no and hell no. And if we say it in mass, they can't stop us. They can't force us.
Yeah, exactly. And the Democrats and the liberals used to be anti-war, but no longer. Now they're all pro-war. They used to be anti-censorship, but now they're pro-censorship too. But anyway,
show me the money.
Yeah. Well, Dave, this has been fascinating. We have covered a lot of ground, and you've got a lot of people concerned, but also we have some, you know, some positive information that you learned here about how to prepare. So I want to give out your website. It's thecommonsenseshow.com. And yes. Dave Hodges, and where else can people find you and your work, Dave?
Well, we're on all the podcast services, and our podcast is really doing well. And thanks to my audience, they pushed us into the top 1/3 of 1% of 3 million podcasts are evaluated by Listen Notes. So thank you to all the audience out there that shares and gets people to listen. And this is part of what's waking people up. Mike, you've done a wonderful job with the organizations you started under Natural News with Brighteon. You've got the radio, you've got the TV. I mean, you're kicking butt and taking names. And people like us and our audience, to be credited with us, are the reasons that America is waking up and we have a chance.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we've got some really cool things that we're about to share, some open source things that would be of interest to you for distributed peer-to-peer publishing, by the way.
We've got some announcements coming up. Let me know. Yeah, absolutely. Anything we can do to further the cause, we're right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not in this to make money. I've retired. I got my two retirements. I'm in this to save the country for my family and for the kids across the country who have no chance with what's going on.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? All right. Well, thank you so much, Dave. And we'd love to have you join us again, especially as things begin to start popping off out there. So you're welcome back here anytime. And in the meantime, keep up the great work. And folks, be sure to visit his website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and share this interview anywhere you'd like. You can repost it. Just give us credit. And of course, join us at brighteon.com. You can post your own videos as well. And you can find some of Dave's videos there as well. Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike, for having me. Take care.
All right, you too. Take care. And thank all of you for watching. This is Mike Adams here signing off for Brighteon.com. Today's interview is brought to you by the Satellite Phone Store at SAT123.com. When you need backup communications because the grid has failed or because the cell towers have gone down or because there's a war or because you're just out of cell tower range, you need backup comms that use satellites. Satellite Phone Store has been a long-term partner of ours. They've helped thousands of people have backup communications that really work with the Bivy sticks also that have, of course, satellite-based text messaging, sending and receiving texts to, frankly, anybody who's got a cell phone anywhere in the world. Plus, with the sat phones, you can, of course, talk and text. And just check it out at SAT123.com. The Iridium phones are in stock right now. The Inmarsat are out of stock. And the Bivy sticks are in stock here. And they've also got numerous kits that you can check out here, which is off-grid kits with backup power, solar panels. These are solar generator kits with a Faraday bag and a satellite phone as well. You can check out all of this and more at the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And we thank you for checking out our sponsors. Take care. If you want to learn the secrets about private digital money, check out my new show called Decentralize TV. It's at this website, decentralize.tv, and there you'll find all the episodes with my co-host, Todd Pittner, where we interview top people in the industry who are working on private digital currency projects, which is private cryptocurrency, as well as decentralized projects in other areas such as decentralized food, decentralized medicine, education, and so much more. If you watch this show, you'll learn a lot about how to be more free, more abundant, safer, and frankly, you'll just have a better life because of the principles that we teach. So check it all out at decentralize.tv and be sure to sign up for the email list there, and we'll send you an email before each new episode airs. And we've got some amazing interviews already done that are coming up on new shows at decentralize.tv. So don't miss it.